At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
This guy is so starless. Baby, this guy is so starless. Baby, you got me growing heartless. So heartless, girl, it's starless. Starless, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes, yes, what's up, everybody? We are back for episode 4 of the Red Light Special, man. What you just heard was our intro theme music from Jake and Papa, man. Shout out to the homies, man. Starless, man. They blessed us with that track, and you know, we've been using it for our intros and outros. This is Rob Markman. Y'all might know me from, you know, MTV News and all that, and now the Red Light Special, and I got my host with me, my co-host, Chris Nicoro. Chris, what up?
What's up, everyone?
How you been?
Great. Also, I want to shout out Jake and Papa once more, just because I've been seeing them do so much work since we've been blessed to have this song as our theme song for the podcast. And I recently saw them on Revolt, and they did something called Entertainer, which I haven't heard before since then. I mean, before that. But they've been doing so much work, and they've just been traveling and putting out so much timeless R&B music. So I just want to shout them out one more time for just blessing us with that song for
real. Now, those are the homies, and they've been putting in work for a long time. Shout out to Nikki Jeezy, man. That's the homie. She's been sending me like music on the low, so I got mad unreleased joints. You know, I do want to address something though. This is our 4th episode, and we didn't bless you guys with an episode last week,
unfortunately.
And I've been contemplating whether to put this artist on blast who just straight didn't show up.
Nah. We don't do that. There's no hard feelings here.
You sure? Because I know it's an R&B show, but you know, I deal with mostly the rappers, and that's all hard feelings. Like, so I got to get out of rapping, so I shouldn't put him on black.
Nah, that's not what we do here. That's not what we're about. We're about peace, love, blessings, and just quality music. So we're not gonna do that.
That's right. But you know who you are. Shout out to you. You know, maybe we'll see you soon.
Maybe not.
Maybe,
who knows?
Maybe we won't.
But on with this podcast.
Yeah, man. So it's been an interesting week. You know, interesting 2 weeks. You know, I did another interview with my own girl, Janae Aiko.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, you guys have been working a lot together.
Me and Janae got a lot of stuff coming.
It's
so we
dope,
did.
Though. Yeah. What you did was dope, because Tupac's birthday passed.
Right.
And on his
week.
Birthday, you guys dropped those 3 pictures, first of all. What Janae did, redoing all the pictures of Pac, was dope. I've never seen her in that light.
Yeah, nah, Janae got some thug in her. So, yeah, for Tupac's birthday. Well, first, hopefully y'all caught the first interview we did for MTV, where I took Janae grocery shopping. And we talked about, you know, hashtag groceries. And then last week for Pac's birthday, she took these really special pictures for, she has this thing that she's starting called Tok. And for her Tok program, she took some special pictures where she recreated 3 Pac photos. The one with him in the bathtub with the chains all on his crotch.
Crazy.
The All Eyes on Me cover and the Greatest Hits cover. And then me and her just spoke for about 45 minutes. We just did an interview about how dope Pac was and influential Pac was. So that went up on MTVnews.com. That was dope. And
I like how you guys did that, too, because those recordings sounded almost like if you were to hear old Tupac interviews.
Right.
They sounded not so, like, the quality wasn't, like, top-notch or something that sounded like you guys went in the studio, did it. I'm saying, but it's what made it dope, because it's, like, something that 10 years from now you're going to get, and it's going to just sound so classic and something you just want to hold on to. I feel like every little bit of the interviews that you guys have been putting out has just been great.
Yeah, nah, you know, and that was just nothing but a phone conversation, so that's why the quality sounded like that. But it was real genuine, you know, conversation. So shout out to Janae and Tok and Ari, man, for putting that together. That was dope. And then, you know, I just came back from Atlanta. I was out in the A for Birthday Bash this weekend.
How'd that go?
You know, for MTV.
Birthday Bash looked crazy.
Birthday Bash was crazy. Shout out to Hot 107.9, who performed, man. Wale performed. Future killed it. Jesus Christ.
Didn't Future bring out somebody?
Future brought out Meek Mill.
No.
Meek Mill brought out Nicki Minaj. And then Future brought out Drake, and then all of a sudden it just became the Drake show.
I saw you posting the videos on Instagram. I was seeing them, and it looks like he put on a hell of a show.
Yeah, and then Kanye closed it out. So, you know, to see Kanye. Yo, I was watching Kanye West and Phillip Serena standing right next to Andre 3000. Yo, that shit was crazy.
Oh, that's right. I did see pictures of Andre there. He didn't perform, though.
Nah, he ain't perform. Okay. He was just wild. I'm like, I'm standing next to Andre 3000, and I couldn't say nothing to him. I'm like, what do you say to Andre 3000? So, but that was dope. So all that's up on MTVnews.com. And, you know, and we here, you know, this week. R&B, got some new music, right?
A lot of new music.
Somebody's album streaming. Whose album did we come across this morning, Chris?
Wild Heart by Miguel. Listen, that album, I've only heard it one day so far, and I am head over heels for it already.
Jesus.
It has a different sound to it.
Don't take much for you, huh?
Listen. we're talking albums, all right?
Okay, I'm just saying.
let's make that clear.
So, let's shout out NPR, because NPR got that stream, that first stream of the Miguel Wildheart album.
And a crazy breakdown, too.
Yeah,
they broke down track by track.
Yeah, man, I believe it comes out next week. What tracks were you feeling off the rip?
The Valley.
Okay.
The Valley is crazy, because he talks about, obviously, that part of Los Angeles being very
Pornos, right?
Yeah. So they're very into pornos, and he's like talking about let's make love like we're filming in the Valley. That song to me is just wild. I mean, come on, everybody has R&B is R&B, but let's not forget what it stands for. Everybody has a wild side.
Oh, a wild side. Okay. Mm-hmm. I thought she was gonna say everybody has a porn tape.
Well, I don't know.
Oh, okay.
That's everybody else's business.
All right. nah, man, he definitely got some joints on there. I thought Beautiful Exit was dope. I thought N.W.A. with Corrupt was dope. Anytime I hear Corrupt on the track, I'm for it. You know,
Corrupt, yeah. N.W.A. is definitely hard.
Yeah, man. And then Going to Hell was crazy. You know, he got some joints. I haven't quite absorbed it yet. Like, I know you listened to it and you was like, yo, this is crazy. We got to talk about it.
But, I really liked What's Normal Anyway. Mm-hmm. He talks about, which I think his whole album pretty much centers around that, about him trying to find himself, almost like kind of reach to a point like where is he at, you know, and his feeling about life. But What's Normal Anyway talks about, you know, being too square for the hood, or being too hood for the Mexicans and stuff. So like, I think tracks like that are very like, you have to listen to the words and really dig deep into the lyrics.
Yeah, because he's biracial, right? So he's black and Mexican. So he was talking about not being able to fit in. Nah, that's dope. Do you think that, I mean, because I've been messing with Miguel since, you know, All I Want Is You, when I heard how Salaam Remy, another Salaam Remy reference.
We just got to get him up here.
Flipped that sample. He flipped the sample. It was the same one that Dilla flipped for the song with Fat Cat, like, you know, I'll be on my super hip hop. And the one with J. Cole, you know, All I Want Is You. And when I just heard that sample, I'm like, yo, who flipped this? And then I heard this dude singing. I'm like, yo, this dude is ill. And that whole album was dope with All I Want Is You. Quickie was on there. And then Kaleidoscope Dream. I don't know. I feel like the expectations is really high for this album. You think he could top Kaleidoscope Dream, which was obviously the one.
It was a definitely, what did that come out in, like 2012 or 13?
Yeah, feel right.
So it was a great album. Here's my thing. I feel like today, people have a problem with when an artist takes a different route. So he's taking a bit of a different route here. He's going a little bit more into, like, he has Lenny Kravitz on one of his songs, the Corrupt one. Everything is just so different. And he has a little bit of that punk, kind of rock, kind of funk feel on this album. And I feel like either the fans are going to love it and embrace it, or they're going to say, hey, it's great, but it's going to slide right by.
Right.
So it can go both ways, but
I don't think it's gonna slide right. I think Miguel, like, everybody's really looking. It's been like almost 3 years since his last one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it'll be interesting, but I definitely appreciate that cat, because he's always progressing, kind of just the music and the culture, and that's dope. But I think we should come back next week once we got a chance to fully digest it and talk to the people and break down some of these tracks. So what we want y'all to do on Twitter for this week, we're going to give y'all homework. Hit us up at RLS Podcast. Tell us about your favorite tracks off of the Miguel Wildheart joint. Y'all can hear it on NPR.com. And when the album officially drops next week, we're going to have a whole discussion. We're going to read some of y'all tweets on the podcast and shout y'all out because y'all show us so much love. Sound good?
Sounds good.
All right,
yeah,
man.
I got homework.
If you like it, I love it. But, you know, I want to focus on today because we got somebody very, very, very special with us, man. Like, this brother, I met this brother, I want to say about 2 years ago up at MTV, and we did an interview, man. One, just an accomplished writer, you know, this year, you know, from the West Coast, first of all, representing L.A., really accomplished writer. He's actually nominated for a BET Award for his work on Chris Brown's X album. Okay,
great,
so you
album.
Know, yeah, you know it's major.
Phenomenal,
I mean,
album.
This dude wrote songs like Stereotype, Add Me In, and of course Fine China, which jumped that whole thing off. You know, like I said, I first met him about 2 years ago. He had this single called I Don't Wanna with Problem, and we talked about it. I was like, what you mean I don't wanna? And the whole song, if you ever heard I Don't Wanna, it's about, you know, I don't want that girl. Like, if another guy don't wanna, then I don't wanna. And I love that in songwriting because it's these perspectives of how men think or how women think. But we never actually verbalize. But men actually think like that. Like, you want a girl that every guy wants. You just want her to be loyal to you.
Right. People say at first, like, you know, I don't want her if everybody else is trying to get her. But you really do. I mean, if you have a girl who nobody's into and nobody's looking at, then what do you have?
A girl nobody wants.
Exactly.
Including you.
Exactly.
You know, he's written for one of your favorite songs. One of your favorite artists is
Brandy.
Brandy, for sure. Without You and Justin Bieber,
right,
you know.
Here, that is by far, I told you how much I love that record. He had a little span of time where he just put out record after record after record. The time where he was kind of going through the motions,
the
with
beefs.
Yeah. That right here is a hard record,
right? So I mean, and we just talk about the accolades, but at the same time, this guy's an artist, man. And on July 7th, he has his debut album, his official debut album with 300 coming out, called Cuffin' Season. And I just want to welcome him one time. Ladies and gentlemen, man, please give it up, man. Eric Bellinger, man.
Yo,
welcome to the Red Light Special Podcast,
man. What's going on?
What's good?
You did, man.
Wasn't quite the Sway intro. We was talking about...
No, that was good because I got to actually, you know what I mean, get a real feel for the show. You know
right.
what I mean? And it's dope. I already, you know, haven't said anything yet, but I feel like I've been... already all through a, you know, an interview looking back and forth like a tennis match or something.
I appreciate that, man. And you know, I know you did Sway in the Morning. That's the big homie. Shout out to the big homie,
yep.
Sway Calloway, mm-hmm. man. Sway in the Morning, Heather B, Tracy, all those guys, DJ Wonder. And mm-hmm. we talked about how Sway gives these grand intros.
Yeah.
Like, he makes you feel like the president.
Wearing a size 10. Nah. Dry fit socks at all times. Nah, it was dope, man.
So we trying to work on that. But, you know, another thing is, and this is only our fourth episode, man. I want to give it up, man. You show love to people that show love to you. And, you know, it's not easy getting guests to come on this show, you know, even when you're Rob Markman. And, you know, but nah, shout out to Mac Wiles and Rico Love, man. I put a call in. They said, my brother, I'm right there.
Shout out to Velas, too.
Velas as well. But Eric Bellinger was actually the first artist that requested to be on the show with you know, his guy, Greg Miller, who I've known for a long time. He was mm-hmm. like, hey, you're doing this R&B podcast. Let's have Eric. And it felt great that somebody actually wanted to be
yeah,
on
right,
the show.
Right,
and we
the
had
opposite,
to miss a call.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. So I appreciate you, man. I'll never forget it, man. You're going to go
man.
In the Hall of Fame over here.
Hey, it's all good, man. I'm just happy to be a part of, you know, something, you know, that is really just about the music.
Right.
You know, because everything that I stand for and everything I believe in, it's just about the music. It's no gimmicks. It's just good music. That's it.
I wouldn't even know what to talk about with you other than the music because I feel like, when are you not working?
Right.
Like, right. Nah, I stay working because if I'm not on my project, I'm on somebody else's project. And if I'm not, you know, doing that, then I'm trying to, you know, I just signed some producers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like trying to make sure that they all the way right. And just got an artist. Just signed a rapper as well. His name is A-Rock. So we're going to
okay.
be putting his music out soon. So I'm definitely staying busy. Just had a son, you know, like it's...
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Wow.
Happy belated Father's Day, too. How's your son?
Yeah. Thank you. He's 3 months.
Okay. Wow. Brand new. That's dope.
How's it
man.
Feel?
Amazing. You
yeah.
know, because he, you know, sometimes he look like me. Those are the times that's really amazing.
There's still 3 months is still
like
the kind of age where he's kind of growing into everything.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful that's, feeling though.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That's super dope, man. You know, it's interesting because you have this album coming out
mm-hmm.
on July 7th, this Cuffin' Season album, And we had Rico Love up here a couple of weeks ago, and Rico just dropped his debut album as well. Rico said he had to take 2 years off writing for other people because the politics involved, and he just rather focus on himself.
Yeah.
For you, I feel like you haven't taken any time off.
Nah, it'd be like fast. Like, I might be like, yo, I'm going to get like a month and a half, maybe 2 months, you know, but it's tough, you know, because I look at it like if I take too long off, then I won't stay current with where the sound is. You know, I'm like, I gotta just keep going. You know, it's a lot more of a workload, but I think it keeps me fresh. You know, my pen is fresh. You know, like it's always fresh because I never take no breaks.
Well, how do you balance in terms of what you remember? Kanye West had that line like, "Oh, he always gonna keep the good beats to himself."
Right.
Like you might. Do you ever write something and you be like? Sorry, Breezy.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. Like, normally I will definitely write a song for who, you know, like when I'm writing it, I know who it's for. So if I'm like thinking Chris Brown, it's Chris. If I'm thinking Usher, and the records that I write are so personal, you know, they're tailored. So a song that, you know, Chris would do, I wouldn't necessarily do it because, for one, I wrote it in a higher key. I wrote, you know, like everything is tailored. So, you know, I had to definitely learn that. You know, at first I was just writing songs like, and then it was tough. Like, oh, this song is tight. I want this song. But now I know who I am. You know, I know who, you know, when I'm writing for, it's really tailor made.
So hold on. Knowing how Fire China came out, the end product, you would have kept that for you? Like,
nah, see, especially that one. No, that one was definitely for Chris because he, you know, we was there. We was all there together. So it was like for show, like, okay, we're in the studio for Chris. We writing for Chris. You know what I'm saying? It was a camp that they had put together. I definitely would have loved, you feel me, to, you know, after you hearing it, but it was, I just look at it like it was really Chris, you know?
Is there ever any songs that you write and you imagine them coming out a certain way because you say everything is tailored.
Yeah.
Has there ever been, and I don't mean like name the artist that it happened with, but has there ever been a time where you did write a song and it didn't quite come out the way that you had it made up in your mind and you weren't too happy with it?
No, I mean, there's a song that I wrote that was called Thought of You, and I wrote it for Usher. And I played it for him. I was crazy. Usher, I got it. This is the one. This song is crazy. And he heard it and was like, he was like, I like it, but he said, that's JB. That's JB. And I was like, all right. So he was like, you should play it for him. And then I actually just forgot about it. And then I got in the studio with Justin Bieber one day. And then I was like, let me play him that song that Usher told me to play him. And I was like, hey, yo, I got a joint. I want to play it. And then he was like, yeah, load it up. He stopped. It got to like the first verse and he walked out the studio and then came back in with his whole team, you know, and was like, load it up. And they were going crazy. bro, how come you didn't play me this song? You know, but I'm like, dang, Usher told me to play this song.
Should have listened to Usher.
Yeah, you know.
That's crazy, man. Yeah, I want to go back kind of into your history and how you came to be. So I was reading that your grandfather actually was a writer and used to write for the Jackson 5.
Yeah, so he was just an artist and songwriter as well. And some of the songs, like, he had actually put out Rockin' Robin, you know, on his own, like, as his song. But then, you know, the Jackson 5 or whoever's, you know, management at the time got wind of him and was like, yo, can we use that song? Can that be our song? And then he was like, of course. So they ended up cutting it, putting it out, and then they did. That's how it initially started.
Hold on. We gotta rewind. Hold on. I feel like we gotta do this in slow motion. Your grandfather wrote Rockin' Robin.
Yeah.
The Jackson 5's Rockin' Robin.
Yeah. It's almost like, how could you pass that up and say no, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So he was like, of course. And then he went on to do more songs. He wrote Little Bitty Pretty One, which is another song, you know, that he did for them. And he also, you know, wrote for a bunch of other people back in his time. So for me to be able to just follow his footsteps, and it's like I'm doing the same thing Grandpa was doing, you know. So
it might arguably, because then when you think about Fine China, right? Mm-hmm. Might arguably be writing and working with the Michael Jackson of today, a lot of people say, with Chris Brown.
I never thought of that.
50 said it when we got on the Summer Jam stage. He said, this generation's Michael Jackson. Listen, I know it gets blasphemous. They're about to kill us on Twitter right now for comparing anybody to Michael Jackson.
He's been given that title so many times. I mean, even with the dancing, they say, who after Michael Jackson comes anywhere as close to him, mm-hmm. it's Chris Brown.
Chris is a beast. But also a song like Fine China is yeah. the one that gets him, that's sort of an MJ zone.
Yeah, mm-hmm. no, that's what we went for the yeah. whole time. I remember, you know, being in the studio that day. I had written 3 songs for the camp for Chris.
Right.
It was like maybe, I'm talking about early in the morning, 3:30, 4 in the morning. I was like, all right, y'all, that's it, I'm out. You know, my boy Rockstar was like, let's do one more. And I was like, dog, you know how tired I am? I'm a zombie. I can't even get my backpack to walk out. And then they just started doing the drums. Dun, dun, you know how it starts. Mm-hmm. Dun, dun. And it was literally everything just came on the spot. You know, I heard that and I was like, okay, that one drum is not doing nothing for me. You know what I mean? Like, I'm out, y'all. I'm sorry. Then all of a sudden I heard, dun, 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 dun. I was like, load it up.
Like the beef said,
like the beef. In the words of JB,
that's loaded funny. Up.
How long yeah. did it take you to pen that?
30 minutes.
Wow.
See, it's amazing to me. I feel like we see the end product,
yeah,
but the process for it is just something that I'm clueless about. You know,
yeah.
30 minutes though for a song like
yeah,
that.
Because
I would never think.
Because when we and Chris was still there. Chris was in the other room because he'll just rent the whole you know, the whole studio. And I remember him coming in when it was like verse and hook. Because a lot of times, like with Justin Bieber, he heard one verse and walked out and got everybody. This song, Fine China, we had the verse and the hook. And he came back in with, you know, same thing. He came in, was like, whoa, 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 stop, stop. Mm. Tina, he's like, get everybody. And he was like, this is the single. The song wasn't wow. even done. It was my demo, you know what I mean? Like a minute in.
And you demo it for, you reference it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. I always have all my demos too.
So there's a version, there's an Eric Bellinger version oh, yeah. out there of Fine China.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Yo, one of the things that you, because one of the great things about that song, one of the things that you kind of become a master of, and I love it because it's such a rapper thing, mm-hmm. but it's a great songwriting thing, is you become a master of the double entendre.
No, nah, man, that's, you know, that's what it's all about, you know, because say, for example, you write a song about winning and then the song is called Winning. What? I'm going to write a song about winning and then I'm going to call it Losing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And then I'm going to flip it and then there's going to be a payoff at the end of the hook that's going to say something because I do this because I hate losing. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just straight up and down. It's not interesting.
I feel like that goes back to what Rico said, Rob, when he kind of said, like, what artists do sometimes is they say, you know what, we'll just put this on the next album. Or we'll just do this one, you know, we'll do this with this one. And he's like, how do you treat your music like that? Mm-hmm. So I think that goes also with sometimes, a lot of the times, actually, I hear songs and it's like they choose the main line in the chorus and just throw it as a title.
Yeah.
And there's really no substance in, right, you know, you want to kind of, the title kind of sets up everything. So.
Everything. Yeah. I have a song on the album where the title is, I don't say that line until like 3 minutes in, you know, because that's the message. This is the point that I want you to walk away with. You know, when you see, you know, that title, I want you to start your mind. You know what I mean? Your mind is already wondering, what is that about? What could that be about? If your title is I Love You or Love, is like, I've heard that a million times.
So I got one for you. One, two, and I go back because Fine China is, in case people don't get it, we just going to spell it out. Like, Fine, I'm going to treat you like Fine China.
Yeah,
you
like
know, the shit that your moms will slap you for if you
break
broke
it or
something
if,
in the china cabinet. You know, and you're irreplaceable or, you know, if you saw the video.
Yeah, you got to have it's metaphors. You know, like in rappers, like you said, you know, rappers do it, you know, all the time. And I think songwriters are just, not necessarily lazy, but they don't think that far into it. You know what I mean? And I come from a rap background. So, like, I used to rap every day, you know? So, I think a lot of my cadences and, you know, but still being able to hear melody, you know what I mean? I just combine the two and it's a crazy combination.
It's dope when you write like that and you think like that and you title your songs a certain way because you can get fans excited just off of the track list.
Just off the track list. That's why I put the track list out so soon because it's like, people are already hitting me up like, you know, what is that? Or I want to hear, you know what I mean? I got some cool little titles.
I remember when you dropped The Rebirth
and
you had a song on there called Drake's X.
Exactly.
We're going to play a little bit of it.
All right, cool.
And I was like,
we'll do the questions after.
Yeah.
I was like, well, yo, bro, was he banging Drake's ex? Like, what is this about? Like, I was
right,
like,
right, right, right.
It's finna. Does Drake know?
Exactly. Is he aware? Yeah, I thought he was the new Mr. Steal Your Girl.
You should have known I be out here doing shows. I be out here on the road. I be flying across the globe. That's your bet. You should have known I be out here making money. Now I'm looking like a boss and you looking like a dummy. That's your bet. Girls is like, what the hell was you thinking? Why you let go?
Say so myself.
That's crazy.
Alright, let's take that down a little mm-hmm. bit. So here was a song I was going in. I was like, man, I'm about to hear some. He gonna talk about mm-hmm. one of these girls, Malaya, one of them, right?
right?
You know, and nah, but it's I got you feeling like Drake X because Drake has.
Imagine how
he's the man
she
now.
Feels. She's. Crazy, like I was with him before all of that,
right?
And now what? Right. It's hard for
and
me.
He's making songs about you, and you're stuck right now.
Ooh, that's like, what I'm saying. Like, he's first of all, he's my favorite, you know, songwriter of today. And I think, you know, everything that he does is just it's relevant, it's right, it's, you know what I'm saying, that he, even if he knows how to do it, he knows how to pace it, you know, he when he switches from melody to rap, it's the perfect time, you know, mm-hmm. like, and I really pay attention, you know, to that, and, you know, I'm a big guy of studying, you know, and back in the day, there were so many different artists you could study, and there's not too many people you can really study anymore, mm-hmm. and I look at Drake now as one of those guys, and I know he was saying that you love Brandy, and, like, Brandy Full Moon album, like, that's something that I know that album backwards, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. like, any ad lib, you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter. And I think that's missing. And I can tell when people don't study. I can tell, like, you would have never did that if you knew what D'Angelo did on Voodoo. You know what I mean? Like, it's just certain rules and certain guidelines, but people don't dig that deep into it. I think they just do what they feel sounds cool, which is, you know, I don't knock it, but I'm like, yeah, but I have a reason. There's a reason why the bridge is the bridge. You know, like,
right.
it's really deep with me. And a lot of things I do, I know people don't notice, but I'll go and change something a million times. And people will never even know take one from take 36, but I know.
But that's what makes the music better. I mm-hmm. mean, even though they might not know that you took this out and made it that,
mm-hmm.
the song still comes out to be the end product that we fall in love with.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It, and I'll
be
counts.
Like, if you had heard 17, he might not have been rolling.
That's good. Who would you say your number one musical influence is? I mean,
well, now definitely Drake, for
definitely
sure.
Drake. Okay, yeah. But before that, somebody who maybe influenced you to actually want to start this?
Usher, okay. For sure.
I was gonna say beside Grandpa.
Yeah. Oh, Grandpa. Oh, Grandpa. That's before
Grandpa.
Anybody. You right. know, like I grew up, and I was blessed enough to be, you know, around him in the studio. You know, he had a studio in his basement. And I would just be there, just quiet, absorbing it all, looking around, like, okay, cool, see, you got your soundproof. Like, he had a real studio. It wasn't, mm-hmm. like, no punk studio. It was like, okay, cool. And I just really followed his footsteps. You know, when I, you know, got into music, I had a whole studio myself. You know, mm-hmm. like, if that's what Grandpa did, so that, you know, I had a great example of,
right.
you know, the correct way to go about it. Like, if you're going to do it, go all out. Otherwise, don't even mess with it.
So other than Grandpa, Usher?
Yeah, definitely Usher, definitely Michael Jackson, you know, just from the intricacy, you know, like the harmonies and the vibrato matching on harmony takes. You know what I mean? It's like, people don't listen to that,
dude. Mm. Randy talks about that a lot, actually. She talks about, you know, artists not doing music the way music used to be done.
Yeah.
And that's why... nowadays you get something, it's not timeless music anymore,
right?
If you really put the work and the effort in, then you get something that's going to last a long time, as mm-hmm. opposed to something that's just
no you're
in
right.
the moment.
You're right, because we can steal that album we were just talking about. You can play Full Moon right now and it sounds like it just came out.
Yeah, that's my favorite Brandy album, actually.
I'm jamming in my head right now,
for sure.
Brandy is
sure.
Kristen's favorite
yeah.
artist, and she'll do like every Brandy album. I'm
yes.
not that deep with Brandy,
yeah.
It's more so singles, but that Full Moon album is special.
Yeah,
Brandy by Brandy
see,
is probably
me,
my favorite.
See, that's a, like, for me, I got into Brandy on that Full Moon album because I never wanted to do music at all. You know, like, I graduated high school and then it was like, I just went on an audition like that. My mom was like, just go, you never know. And then I went and then I got signed to this R&B group and I was, you know, we were signed to Epic. I mean, it was like immediate. Everything just started happening. And I was like, all right, cool. I guess I'll give this music a shot. I already have a deal. You know what I mean? I'm already on tour.
So it wasn't ever like a dream that you were like just pursuing so desperately? Like,
nah, the only thing I wanted to do was sing the national anthem at a Super Bowl game with my uniform on, with a mic in one hand and a helmet in the other hand. That was it. I was football. I've been playing football since I was 6 years old.
So you want to play in the game and sing the national anthem? Yeah, you'd be like exactly. The Bo Jackson of R&B.
That's what I mean. Exactly. Bo knows music. Bo knows football.
That's dope. Funny.
Yeah. Listen, man, we got to get you. I'm going to holla at MTV. If we can't make that happen, we at least got to bring back Rock and Jock.
Let me tell you something.
And let you do that.
When I was little, Rock and Jock was... And then once they stopped it, I was like, yo, because everybody plays basketball. Like, right. That's the thing. You know, celebrity basketball is like, bro, what about football? Like, right. I don't play basketball. You know, right. I'm not going to get out there and look crazy. And right. You know, so I just had to wait.
Let me see what I could do, man. If I bring back Rock and Jock, everything... You're going to be in the game, and you're going to sing the national anthem. We're going to make a dream come true.
Let me tell you something, man. That's why, man, that's why we brothers.
You go
that's
down
why.
As the man for that.
Let's do it.
I do want to ask you about Miss Nicki Minaj, however. And it actually started with MTV. My man Adam Fleisch actually did an interview with you around the time when Nicki dropped the artwork for Anaconda and asked about your involvement in the record. You were posting the artwork as well.
Correct.
And you had something to do with it. you said that you produced on the record. Nicki said that you didn't. There was a bit of back and forth. Did you produce on Anaconda?
Yes.
Okay. Are you credited? Are you properly credited?
No, not at all. It was weird, you know, how everything went down. It actually started on a Saturday. You know, she was in the studio with the interns, and they were calling me like, "Yo, we in with Nicki. We want you to come in." Da da da. And I was like, "Oh, I can't do today. Maybe tomorrow." You know, I was doing something with the fam. And then they were like, all right, cool, Sunday. So Sunday comes around, like, yo, you coming? Cool. You know, I'm just saying this to say, I did not ask to, you know, to go. They, you know, kind of, you know, invited me in. And I was, of course, grateful. I'm not saying I was, you know, so right. But the way it all panned out, it's just insane to me how it all happened. But, you know, they called me in just to, you know, you never know. You know, just kind of be in the room. You know, we're working on these songs for Nicki. if we can get multiple songs, that was the goal. So initially, you know, it was like whatever we got to do. There was more songs that, you know, we did for her project that she ended up scratching everything because of the way that, you know, the situation went down. But, you know, in the studio, it's always one thing, you know, when you're creating. And then, you know, later down the line, people just, you know, forget what happened, or you know, because it's that you're not in that moment anymore, you know. So you know, we ended up doing you know, putting out the artwork. Everybody put it out the same day. We asked, like, is it okay to put the artwork, like, are you sure, you know, because we're really polished. I'm polished. Not just, you know,
I mean, you work with Justin Bieber and Chris Brown, like those,
right. I know how to do this, you right. know. I'm no, this isn't my first rodeo, you feel me? So they were like, yeah, go ahead, you know, post it. So of course, boom, I posted thing. What does my caption say? Shout out to my bros, interns, for bringing me on a Nicki Minaj song. Super excited, this song's gonna be crazy. You know, then they respond, of course, bro, you know, couldn't do it without you, da 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 da, all this stuff in the comment. So all of this stuff is proof. It was there. It was, you know, we already agreed. But once the interview came out with the, you know, the MTV interview, that they asked me questions, and, you know, we were doing an interview in regards to a music video that I had put out with Kid Ink, a song called Kiss Goodnight. In the conversation, they just happened to ask me, like, hey, by the way, we saw, you know, everybody put out the artwork. So it was like, yeah. You know, like, what part did you play? It was like, oh, I co-produced the track with the interns, da-da-da-da. But she was just upset because, you know, I guess you could say a little bit of details when they were like, yo, what's the song about? They were, you know, just asking questions. It wasn't harmful. And I'm like, yo, it's a club record, crazy club song, super excited. You know what I mean? Not going to give away too many details. But, you know, basically I was talking about the song. Mm-hmm. You know, it just in general. And she is the artist. It's her song. Of course she wants to be the first person to say anything. You know, she wanted it to be like artwork for a minute. No one knows anything.
Right.
So for me to go out and say something before she did, I can understand that because I'm an artist as well. So of course I want to be the one to spearhead any project that, you know, I'm doing. I wouldn't want somebody, you know what I mean, else to do it, because I have a plan and I have a structure and I have a format and I have a rollout. So, you know, once that happened, it was like, okay, I get it. I understand. Like, it, you know, it didn't mean any harm. They were just asking questions, but sorry about that. And then it became, he didn't even work on something.
Right. Like, okay, then what? It became something else.
Yeah, it was like, I understand that you're upset, but that never should be reason enough to take someone's credit away from them.
Can you say, do you know what part you contributed? Like, when you hear it, obviously you were in there, so you can hear. And obviously there's a lot of moving parts when it comes to producing a record, mm-hmm. and writing a record and arranging a record.
Mm-hmm.
Which parts did you contribute?
So the section of the sample that was chosen, mm-hmm. From the Sir Mix-a-Lot record, you know, because when you make a song and you use a sample, it's still a genius behind the part of the song that you use, you know. So I was like, yo, let's use this here, my Anaconda don't, you know, like all mm-hmm. the different things, little in a minute, you know. It's like it was a collaborative effort. It wasn't like, yo, I did everything, mm-hmm. but it was like, it was, you know, a collaborative back and forth. Use this here, use that there, use that 808. This is the 808. I like this 808 right here. It was the entire process of producing a beat, but I wasn't pushing the buttons.
Right.
You get what I'm saying? So it was like, it was really interesting, because even in the studio, we had determined splits. We had determined.
Oh, so you already had these conversations about splits.
Done. Yeah, it was like, this is your guaranteed split. Everything was like.
Oh, see, I don't feel like you can take credit away there.
Were you asked to sign an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement?
No.
About it? Okay. So, and the non-disclosure agreement would say, hey, you can't talk about this. You can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was, you know, it was interesting, because once, you know, she was, it was the same. It was crazy, because I did that. That song was done in the exact same room I wrote Fine China in. So it was interesting, like, you know, how it happened, because, like I said, like, Chris Brown's in the other room.
Right.
Then he comes in and he hears Fine China. Because it's like,
The same night?
You bounce back and forth. Not at all. Not at all. So then once she bounced back and forth, she wasn't in there for the process.
Right.
So she didn't necessarily know at all.
Right.
You know, so it was kind of up to the interns to be like, nah, he, you know, he did this with us, as opposed to them just kind of making sure that they were cool. Like, man, I just, you know, we don't have time to really be worrying about anyone else. We got to make sure we good, you know, because it was already a couple other producers, you know, like Polo, you know, a couple people that worked on it. So,
and you touched on a very important point. You said you weren't exactly pushing buttons, and I think the producer, and just to clarify for the audience, doesn't always mean beat maker. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Quincy Jones was a producer, but didn't necessarily play the instruments. Like, he arranged for the production of it and knew what went where and what sounded what.
Exactly.
Diddy, notoriously, you know, is Diddy not a producer because maybe he doesn't work the MPC?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know, Diddy knows what sample to chop, where to chop it, how he wants to sit stuff to sound, and especially Diddy, notoriously, as legend has it, is keen on mixing.
Yeah.
And making sound, those drums snap a certain way.
But that's why they told me to come. They were like, yo, we want your ear, your expertise on, you know, like, can you just come? And it's funny, because the reference that Cosign had used was Quincy Jones. You know, he was like, you know, you could play this role, and, you know, like, I just want to, it was crazy, because he came from a place of love. You know, he was like, yo, bro, I want you to come through, and, you know, I want us to make sure that we do this together. You know, we work together a lot. So, you know, when they were like, all right, cool, what about this part? What about this part? Everything was going smooth. You know, it was just until the end when it went left, because, you know, of everything that happened, I think, with the previous interview of me speaking up on the record when they asked the questions.
Unfortunate. Are you and the interns, were you able to get past it? Is there a working relationship still?
We're cool, but yeah, we haven't worked together since, because it's just, when you work, I feel like there has to be, it's a vibe. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You can't force music. You can't, you know, and I don't have any you know, negative feeling. I'm somebody who's like, I don't have any negative energy in my system. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all positive. Everything I do is positive. So, you know, I'm like, we could be cool. Like, I'm not gonna hold a grudge or anything, but I just can't, you know,
might not work together.
Yeah, put myself in the same position.
Well, it sounds like a lot of just misunderstanding and you know, that just spiraled out.
Nah, it's crazy, man. Because, you know, I won't say the bad stuff and not say the good stuff. Like, he was like, bro, this can be great because, you know, this can be your first, you know, known song with production credit. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? After that, we can just continue to do more. You know, people will come to you for beats and, you know, we'll do the same thing again as a team. So to me, it's like, that's what it should be about anyway. Right. It's always about bringing more people together. It's always about, you know, making sure that everyone, you know, can eat as a family. You know, we started together, let's finish together. But I think once, you know, she had the question like, wait a minute, who is he? And the song started going crazy. Then it was like, uh-oh, we got to cover ourselves.
Yeah. Shout out to them. I mean, those the interns are really, really talented.
Super incredible. Tons of I would hits. Never take anything.
Yeah. From I just heard, you know, they, and not only do they make hit records, man, they linked up with King Los. I went to a listening for King Los, who's an incredible lyricist, and they did a lot of just dope hip hop stuff with Los on that project. So I think that drops this week. So we look forward to that.
Nice.
But we also look forward to cuffing season, man. July 7th, bro.
Yes.
Smack in the middle of the summer.
So we're going back and forth with the July 7th thing, just because that's the week that the industry is supposed to be switching the day from Tuesday
to Friday.
To Friday.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so I was for the longest, I was like, man, I've been having my supporters like waiting. I don't want to tell them it's pushed back again, but it was kind of a thing like, you know, everything is going to be all bad with the numbers. And so many people worry, you know, are into that now. Right. It's like they look at you as in, you know, like it was unsuccessful if you don't do a certain, you know what I mean? So they were like, so it's only going to be, you're only going to get Tuesday, you know, you're only going to get Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Right. So it's only going to count 3 days because it's over Friday and it starts that week. So they're like, if you put it out Friday, at least you'll get your full week, you know? And I looked at it like, yeah, but 7-7 just sounds so cool.
Well, it does, and I know how it feels to have something kind of like you said, you tailor everything and then to have to switch it. But you have loyal fans, and I'm sure that, you know, considering the guidelines, quote unquote guidelines, are changing for the industry on what day the music will be releasing, I'm sure your fans will still go out
most definitely
and purchase and support. So
and that's the thing I hate. I've had this conversation over the past week, not to talk about rap stuff. But with Troy Ave, a lot of people were kind of clowning his record sales, and he's an independent artist, so it wasn't like he was going to do 50,000 the first week.
Right.
But he dropped on a Friday instead of a Tuesday and had a short weekend.
Right.
Right. His was only Saturday, Sunday, Monday.
Yeah, and I think we just, first of all, I don't understand the industry. Like, I buy records. I get all these records for free from the label. Like, you know, I work at MTV, it's all good. But everybody who knows me, every Tuesday I'm buying new records. And mostly I'm trying to get physical copies because I like to read credits. But as a culture, we don't buy albums. Like, Taylor Swift's fans have no qualms about going out and buying her album. And Adele's fans and Ed Sheeran's fans, we don't buy. So, but yet we have so much to say about records. I don't see Katy Perry and Taylor Swift being like, well, Taylor sold more than you the first week. It's our culture that does that. And I think unless we're going to be buying albums, I don't even know why album sales is a topic of conversation. Again, that's it doesn't have much to do with the music.
I think people just like to, you know, they like, everybody likes controversy. You know, it might not be the greatest thing, but people are attracted to controversy. And I think the minute that anything like that pops up and they say, oh, you know, he only sold this amount of everybody's gonna start talking. It's gonna go viral.
People don't know. I don't talk to anybody. I have a rule on Twitter. I won't talk to anybody on Twitter about album sales
unless they pick a receipt
of the last shit they bought.
I saw you post about that.
Like,
but that's because real.
What are we talking about?
You buy so much music, so I agree with you 100%.
I mean, because you know, also like, I know me personally. This is how I eat. So if I don't support the industry that supports me, but even before, man, when I was working in the mailroom, I remember I had a mailroom job and I had $10 in my pocket, and I could either go buy lunch or go buy the new Mos Def album. And I went to go get Black on Both Sides. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know. Dope. I was like, man, I'll eat that's dinner, dope. Man. I'll hold it.
You got to hear the music.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I've always had that passion. That's before I worked at MTV or XXL or whatever, I had a collection of like 600 CDs. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how important it was to me. So, you know, let's focus on the music. I fell in love with your new single.
Thank you.
iPod on Shuffle.
Thank you.
Because when Kristen and I talked about doing this show, and, you know, we would just pass songs with each other, songs that we liked, and I feel like you referenced so many of those songs just in this thing. Yeah. I feel like this...
A lot of them.
You even say Red Light Special, shout out to TLC, which is the name of this podcast, in the thing. In the song, and I feel like this song kind of embodies what we're trying to create, the discussion we're trying to have week in and week out. So I just want to play a little bit of it.
Okay.
For y'all who haven't heard, this is Eric Bellinger, iPod on Shuffle. And it's on iTunes now?
Nah, it's just on my SoundCloud now. I haven't put nothing on. Yeah, I'm trying to make sure. I want people to hear the body of work, you know.
I respect it.
Yes, sir. I should put that sound in the beginning.
Yeah. That was dope. Little things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I got candles from your side to my side. I got silk sheets for this red special, no lights. I got roses to place in between your thighs. I got liquor and I'm a liquor with this ice. I got Jodeci, 112, H-Town, Maxwell, R. Kelly, and D'Angelo on my playlist tonight. I'ma speed it up, slow it down, speed it up again. Bend you over, then pull your hair and tell you to tell me it's all mine. Look at your spine, babe. Meeting in my bedroom.
Meeting in my bedroom.
Meeting in my bedroom.
Meeting in my bedroom.
Baby girl, I'm waiting on you.
I've been waiting on you.
So we could do what we do.
There's a meeting in my bedroom.
Baby, it's a meeting in my bedroom.
That joint is...
We don't want to get sued. We don't want to play the whole joint. Everybody's just going to sue us.
If I could whistle, I'd done that better,
Thank you.
Yeah, man. One thing, too, again, shout it out. Like, it's like all the songs we love. So shout it out, Red Light, No Special, which is Red Light Special. Kristen came up with that name for the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Jodeci.
But do you remember what one of the original on the list for our podcast name?
R&B.
Nah, Robin B was one of them, but but I was like, yo, we should do it off the Silk joint, meeting in my bedroom. I was like, we should do podcasts in my bedroom.
So when that drops,
You know what I'm saying? So thank God that was a horrible name. That would be a horrible name for a podcast.
That's interesting.
But what I'm saying is that this song in particular embodies really, really what the show is about, man.
Dope, man. Thank you.
And I commend you for it, man. I'm an instant fan. As soon as I heard it, I'm like, this is nuts.
Thank you, bro. Thank you.
What inspired that record? I mean, how did you come up? Because I feel like we listen to it and it's like, oh yeah, that's a dope concept. But like, to come about that concept and actually deliver it so beautifully, it must have somewhere to actually spark that.
Man, I'll write records from beginning to end. You know, a lot of times people may come up with the hook first or the concept first, but I feel like if I don't start from the beginning, it won't be a journey. You know, so I started off. Boom, I'm like, okay, let's paint the picture. And then as I painted the picture, you know, I got candles from your side of the bed to my side. I got silk sheets. And when I said silk, I automatically had silk in my head, the group. And it was like a footnote that I just, okay, remember silk. You know, mm-hmm. I didn't know, you know, that it would come to that when I got to the hook. But, you know, as I was like, okay, Silk Sheets. And I was like, okay, you got the red light special. And I'm like, nah, no lights. Turn the lights off. We got candles already. You know what I mean? So each line, you know, it just kept progressing. And I'm like, okay, cool. So we said Silk and we got the red light special. And then I'm like, okay, cool. So what about a song about, you know, about like a playlist? And at first it was, you know, just going to be like about stuff that I'm listening to, but then once I named things and I'm like, okay, the playlist, and then I did the hook, and then the second verse as I was writing, I was, you know, what's it gonna be, Janet and Busta Rhymes, and then it was TLC, and then I was like, this is like it's on shuffle, it's like it's an iPod on shuffle, you know. And then I did the little screw part, iPod on shuffle, I was like,
and that don't even come, it goes back to what you're saying later, how the title of the song doesn't even come
until, that's what I'm right. saying, until way later. You would think, some people are like, oh, the song's called Meet in My Bedroom, like,
right,
you know, oh, the song's called, you know, like, nah, it's like, it's why I put on shuffle, plus that means more,
right,
you understand the song before you hear it, you know what that means, and you see all those art, you see those songs on the artwork,
yeah, the artwork,
those
was
are, you know, yeah. strategic, you know, that, like, that whole thing that you, I made that thing on YouTube that you were just doing, like, I engineered myself on that whole song, I, you know, like, it's like a process that I just do by myself, I'm just like a nerd, a computer nerd, an engineer, engineered, as we call it, you know, in the music world, but, you know, for me to be, I was engineering before I was writing, so I really know how to do, you know, some crazy stuff with the, in the Pro Tools there.
Cool, man, that's dope. We got another segment. First, I want to play a bit of your other song, Focused on You with 2 Chainz.
Okay.
Cause I really like, again, you know, I'm a New York head, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm still a hip hop head at heart. I love my R&B, but you got a sample Nas,
yeah,
Uchiwali,
yeah,
Braveheart's actually Uchiwali, it's a Braveheart song.
Yeah,
right?
Braveheart's and Nas remixed it.
I love how you incorporate that too into your songs, even with the iPod on shuffle, you know. But
yeah,
the video was dope too. Clean.
It was super clean.
Yeah.
You know, you nowadays it's like, you know, people aren't putting that type of production into videos, and I was at the point as an artist where, you know, I couldn't be mediocre, I couldn't do the things that can just get by, right. You know, so we were like, let's go all out, let's get 2 Chainz on.
Who directed it?
All the same people that do like all the Chris Brown's videos.
Okay.
The name of their company is Riveting Entertainment.
Okay.
And
very dope.
They're super, you know, super dope.
We spend that a lot on MTV Jams. So that's the first time I actually heard the record, was watching MTV Jams.
Nice.
In the office. So
nice.
So we're gonna play a little bit of Focus on You with 2 Chainz, and then we're gonna get into this relationship advice,
all
man,
right, cool.
Because these people out here need help.
I got them. Dr. Love.
Right.
Might need Nas on the remix.
Man, I reached out to him for that reason.
It's a whole lot of chicks in the living room getting it on. And they ain't leaving till 6 in the morning. I've been trying to tell them leave me alone. They been twerking, it ain't working. I've been curving because I'm focused on you. I'm trying to get you back to the telly. Trying to be a man if you let me. Baby girl, you so thick and you look so sweet. I just want to taste your peanut butter jelly while I'm feeling on your body.
It should just make you like,
can't help it.
While I'm feeling on your body. Oh, with you, Wally, Wally, Wally. You looking dangerous. I want you when it's obvious. We could be making crazy love. Whole world gonna be hating us.
There you go, man. And shout out to my man Horace too, who rhymed on the original, man. That's my brother Horace, man.
Yes, sir.
You know, they call me Horace, the condom filler.
Yeah, that song, you know, I used to dance like crazy, you know, back in the day, and that song was everything in the dance community when it first came out. And you know, I've had some, you know, some really good success in Los Angeles, you know, like the city is really behind me, they're really supporting me. And you know, the idea behind that was to get New York, you know, we're like,
right,
we need New York, we need to figure out something to do to get the East Coast. So you know, we're like, I was immediately taken back to that moment, you know, because, you know, with the success of I Don't Wonder, I was like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Like, what's another song that feels like that I can kind of just do the same formula? And it was like, no brainer. You know, I told one of my producers, D-Mile, like, bro, we got to do this. You know what I mean? We got to do the Uchiwali. This was Monday. The next day I came in, he was done with the beat. And it was like, okay, this is perfect. Did the record. And like a week after we put it out, Fab came with the same sample.
Yeah, man.
Which was like, you know, it was like, there's still a great song. Like when I do it at my shows, my fans still go crazy. Right. But it was really tough trying to battle or compete with Fab when he's
especially you were trying to get New York. Like you got LA unlocked and then Fab. If a DJ is going to play a Fabulous record or Eric Bellinger
record,
he's
going to go with Fab.
They're going to go with Fab just because you're familiar. But listen.
But they're different.
His
is a little bit more dumbed down. I feel like this is like a feel good summer pool party.
And if you a DJ on your job, you're blending them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, listen, Nas, I'm old enough to remember when Nas dropped It Ain't Hard to Tell with the Michael Jackson sample.
Mm-hmm.
And SWV dropped
with the same sample right here at the same time. Yeah.
And the DJs would blend it. So, you know, build
your job. Yeah, I've heard it like at a couple clubs, but it was just really tough, especially that with that being like, okay, we're going to go. You know what I mean? So it was like, all right, we got to fall back.
You know, lucky for you anyway, man, like, I don't think one record is going to make or break you.
Nah.
It's really a collection.
Dope record. Yeah. I mean, I don't even know why we're talking about making or breaking. It's a dope record, and I know that, you know, fans will fuck with it, definitely.
Right. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
You already don't.
Chris, you want to get into this relationship?
I do.
These are fun,
got
bro.
Some people that need some serious help.
These are fun.
All right.
We're here to do just that. All right, so we got a couple people that email us in.
Okay.
Relationship issues, either theirs or it's all anonymous, but it's all somebody going through some sort of motion. So I actually got a really funny email from a guy. He says, I have this female friend that I've known for years, and there's a reoccurring problem that's been happening where I suspect that she's intentionally cock blocking any chances that I have with other women when I'm around her. I have a lot of female friends, and she comes with me to a lot of parties, events that are thrown by my job, and little get-togethers. If I'm dancing with a girl or having an extended convo, she will find any way to seduce herself into the mix or end the exchange altogether. At one particular heated instance, I had asked her if she liked me. She told me no. However, her actions suggest otherwise. We've had conversations where I've told her that I'm not interested in a romantic or sexual relationship with her, and have even set her up on dates with my family members, but the actions keep happening. What should I do to make this stop without looking like the asshole?
That's for me?
Yeah, go, I'll let you take first crack.
Okay. So, in this case, you have to communicate that to the one that you're pursuing. You know, I think he has to say, for example, he's at a, you know, at an event or get together and he's trying to talk to this new girl. He, you know, and the other girl comes up and starts it. He needs to immediately let the girl know, like, look, you know, it's like, you know, I'm letting you in my world, almost like, yo, check this out. That girl over here, man, she is my homie, but she be, listen, don't pay her no attention or whatever it is. I think you should just brief her, because then it'll break the ice. It'll break the ice, like, and then, you know, you guys are kind of in it together, laughing at the situation, not necessarily laughing at her. Don't set it up like that, especially if she's going to be around.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I think, you know, it could be from a perspective of, you know, like, I think a lot of women, you know, say, for example, even if there's nothing going on, you still look out for certain people. Like, you know what I mean? Like a big brother or a big sister type of, you know, like, yo, hold on. Like, I just want to make sure that that's what's best for you. You know, they could be coming from that perspective. But, you know, I think if you approach it like that, you know, then that might be cool. Because I had the same thing happen before. And, you know, and I had to just be like, yo, look, I'm letting you know now. There's nothing going on over there. I want to be here. Like, I want to, you know, see what's up with you or whatever. But, you know, I think it's just communicating, man. If you keep it on the low, then you're suspicious, and that's
actually true. I never thought about it like that, but
you are a better man than me.
See, Rob is always the hard one over here. Every time we do this,
he's like, yo,
I'm gonna leave her ass at home. Like,
he'll find a way to lock her out of the event.
How long will that last?
Listen, if we're friends, if we're truly friends, and if we were already established that there's not a romantic relationship between us,
Like, you have to respect that. I understand if you about to holler at the biggest thot in the room,
yeah,
and she's trying to protect you the same way one of my boys will, mm-hmm, you know, but mm-hmm, if it's like every time I'm just even talking to, like, let me find out she's a thot first before,
yeah,
like, trust me,
yeah,
you know, that's a stage four clinger, bro. And I know she says that she doesn't like you, but she likes you. I'm just gonna go on a limb. I'm like, she probably has some feelings for you and she's not being honest. But you know, I'd leave her home a couple of nights. Maybe we could go chill at the movies, someplace where I'm not gonna bump into a girl.
I definitely think in that case it sounds like she likes
him.
Yeah, if it's a reoccurring problem, I think. Because even me as a female, I mean, you know, I have guy friends and I would never intrude on, even if she is a thot. I mean, hey, let you learn from your experience. You know, like, I'm not going to walk up to you in the, yeah, middle of you approaching a girl and say something because of my personal opinion on her.
No, but let's say
everybody's grown.
Let's say it was,
you know,
a girl and that was your homeboy and you knew she just came back from the whole New York Knicks.
Right, right.
You wouldn't tell
him.
Well, like,
then wouldn't he know? I mean,
maybe
I
he
think
didn't know and you knew and you'd be like, listen, trust,
yeah,
me on this.
Yeah, but that's something that she still should say to him.
Right.
Right. You don't intrude on the actual experience. Yeah.
Don't.
I'll pull you to the side. If I see you talking to the biggest thot in New York, I'll be like, yo, Rob.
Shoot a text.
Well, I'm not talking to nobody.
Right.
So, but, you know, listen, man. CB4 was a great movie.
CB4.
But nobody likes a CB4 in real life, man. Don't be cap-blocking out.
Exactly.
You got one more?
I do. Okay, so let's go here. I got into a relationship recently.
I thought you was really talking about the movie. This nigga got bars too.
Listen,
that's
bro.
Some crazy
bars everywhere.
Listen, I'm gonna hear that in the song.
right. Hold
He's
on,
taking
hold
footnotes.
Hold on.
There goes the footnote.
Then I'm gonna do an interview with MTV.
Hold on. Yeah. You gonna be
our
like,
credit, bro.
Oh, come on, man. I'm not the guy.
All love.
All right, so let's get into one more. I got into a relationship recently, but I have one problem. Shorty is still friends with her ex. It's been a few years since they ended things, and she claims that he's like family. He hangs around her house at times and she says that it's strictly platonic. But I'm not so sure it is. I don't want to be too controlling, but isn't being friends with an ex just wrong?
Yes.
Wow.
They gotta go.
That was quick.
They gotta go.
That's it.
I'm not rolling. You don't want my ex around. You know what I'm saying?
So, like, you don't believe in any being friends with an ex, point blank period?
It can be like cool, but you shouldn't. It's not healthy, you know, for the next relationship regardless, because there's a connection that's there that no matter what, it will be stronger because it has more years on it automatically, you know. So it's, yeah, kind of tough to really, you know, like, is it because no matter what, this person should respect you more so than the ex. You know, the ex had their chance. So now I'm the new person and I'm not comfortable with that. Do you want to do everything to make me feel comfortable, or do you want to make it easier on yourself and be selfish?
Right.
So,
what do you think, Rob?
I think you could be cool with an ex to a degree.
To the point where...
I said you could be cool.
I don't think like coming in the crib...
Yeah, that was crazy.
And chilling in the crib, like, mm-mm, you know, that's a little bit much, but... I mean, it's the guy saying that his girl is cool with her ex?
Actually, this one didn't say, but
Listen, whoever it is, like, start bringing your ex around. See how they like it.
Mm. Yeah, it is the guy.
Okay.
He says Shorty is still friends with her ex.
All right, cool. Me too.
Shorty is still friends with her ex.
When it comes to Jimmy, my
that.
Name is me too.
I feel like once you get out of a relationship, no matter whether it was short, long, especially that he said that the ex still comes around the house and that he's like family.
Mm-hmm.
I could have been with you for 10 years. If you became family at one point, when that relationship ended, that ended. Mm. I feel like you can be cordial. Like, you can be in the same event or at the same party and there's no hard feelings. You know, we're cool, you know, but there's a line, especially if you get into a new relationship. I think respect goes out the window when you start bringing an old boy around.
That's crazy. Because when they're first there, you know, you weren't doing it because you're doing everything in your power to show that person. You know, once they gave in because they felt like they could trust that. Like, he should have never gave in if the guy was there the whole time. You know, this isn't a circumstance where you have kids. He didn't say they have kids. That's another story, you know, but...
Yeah.
if there's no kids and you're just there because, you know, you like the way, you know, they hair curl.
Yeah. That's all good. Imagine coming into that house and you know that man sitting on that couch and he done seen your girl naked.
Mm-hmm.
He know all her spots.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you gotta go, bro. Like, listen.
Right.
And it's on her too. She gotta respect the relationship to be mm-hmm. like to set the boundaries. And if not, you know, y'all gotta think about what you're doing. If he's not comfortable with it, he has to express that. And if she's not willing to make that change for him, then maybe she ain't the one for you.
I think regardless, she should make the change. You know, she's asking, he's asking for advice. Regardless, I think she needs to make that change. At no point do I feel that you can jump into something new still holding on to the old.
I agree.
And, you know, unless it's some old throwback music, you can still hold on to that. I want to get into this next segment. It's something I want to try. You know, every week, the first week, our first episode, we sat with Mac Wiles and we talked about Boys to Men versus Jodeci.
Mm-hmm.
And talked about some old music that, you know, some of our listeners before they time. You know, I was afraid with this show, like, how far do we go back? Like, mm-hmm. are the listeners going to remember certain things? And what we find is that people really, y'all really just appreciate the classics. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And last episode with Velas, we were just talking and PM Dawn came up in the conversation. And just this kind of, you know, old music that nobody's really talking about. We know the R. Kellys, we know the Jodeci's, we know the Boyz II Men. You brought up Silk, iPod on Shuffle, and I wanted to play a Silk song real quick, a little bit, for you and for the listeners. This is probably my favorite Silk song
mm-hmm.
ever. It's called Lose Control.
Mm-hmm.
It was from their debut album. But, you know, when Silk came out, I think I was like in the sixth grade, and they had Freak Me, Let Me Lick You mm-hmm. Up and Down. And we was in the sixth grade dancing to this.
Wow.
We had no business in junior high school. Let me lick you up and down. So
right.
You know what that meant.
Yeah.
But they had this other song, this Lose Control. And when we talk about just how dope songwriting is, I just love the perspective on the song. So we're going to play a little bit. We're going to talk about it. First of all, when dudes used to talk at the beginning of the song.
You know.
I really did.
But I think, and it's gonna come in, the first line of this song is so ill to me.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about it.
I just want you to sit down for just a minute. Let me talk to you.
Last night, we had an argument.
You told me you love me.
All the things I said, I never meant. No, baby, I didn't mean to make you cry. I didn't mean to make you say bye, bye, bye.
Baby, won't you let me look inside your soul?
Singing.
I just zoned.
Yeah. That always stuck out to me because, you know, I imagine, like you said, a scene, right? When you write music and
mm-hmm.
the first line is last night we had an argument.
You said, yeah.
You told me you love me. So there's conflict, like, what the fuck was that? That was a real argument.
Right.
Last night we had an argument.
That could be like, I love you, goodbye. Right. But that could be, but I love you. You know, like.
Right.
You never, you know, like, and that immediately, you know, you can picture a visual. You see it. You're like, okay, I see them arguing. You know, like, if you don't get that, then it's like, you're cheating the listener. You know, they shouldn't need a music video.
Right.
You know, they should see, the song should be a music video. You know, the song should be like, I see it. And then when the video comes, back in the day, you know, it's like, yep, they nailed it. You know what I mean? Like, to me, like, a lot of, you know, my music videos, everything is just, it's like, it's the song, it's to the song, you know? And I know that a lot of people do videos that are more so abstract, like, you know, I've seen a video recently where it was just all blue, you know, mm-hmm. you know, and that was dope, you know, because, you know, it was like, okay, cool, it's like artsy, it's abstract, but I'm like, I really like to go with the, like, I'm like, okay, when I say close the door, and I close the door, I want to close the door, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, in the video, like, that's just me, you know, and I could be old school, but I just feel like give the people what they want, you know, they right. love the music already, don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Hold on, Chris, you feel that song?
Hell yeah. Okay. Listen, there's a lot of emotion in there. Yeah. And also, it just, you know, today you get music where the men, whether it be the men or the women, I'm not just going to zone in on men, but they're bitter. And you don't, this song is kind of like, okay, we had an argument. But then he talks about, like, let me make you lose control. Like, all the, you ever been in an argument? Like, if you have, then you feel the song. Because it's like you get into argument, you have all that feeling, all the emotion you let out, and you even regret some of the things you said.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you kind of like, it's kind of like the song is at a time where you're kind of looking back on the argument and you're like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it is.
Mm. And that's when you had the best sex, too, at the girl.
Yeah,
thing,
makeup.
The makeup.
Mm. But it's funny, too, that when you talk about the visuals, another joint, a back-in-the-day joint, Aaron Hall. I don't mm-hmm. know if you remember this one, I Miss You.
I miss you.
Yeah.
I miss you, baby.
And that song had a meaning. And then when the video came out, it just fucked your head up. You remember the video?
No, I don't.
So I miss you. I'm talking to you, baby. It felt like a breakup joint. And in the video is that his girl was giving birth to their kid, and it had a whole story. And the girl died.
What?
While giving birth, like
That's
it was
wild.
The deep. Like go look this video. It was the song was already hit you. And when you seen that video, it was like, whoa.
See. Aaron Hall, I miss you.
Yeah. The original R. Kelly.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got to watch that video.
Yeah, me too.
So we just want to, you know, for the listeners, man, put you up on something that maybe you wasn't on too. So, again, hit us up at RLS Podcast on Twitter. And, you know, let us know what you think of Silk. Go check out that Aaron Hall video, man. Let's talk about it. Eric, man, I feel like we said so much, man. Yeah. Is there anything you want the people to know, man, about this album? July 7th, maybe, or maybe the 10th?
It's more logical, I guess, to July 10th. Everything is, like, my Twitter name is Cuffing Season 77, you know what I mean? So,
yeah.
I just kind of, you know, haven't really decided yet, but it's most likely going to be the 10th. But I really just want people, you know, if you're just hearing me, go listen to Choose Up Season.
Mm-hmm.
Choose Up Season is a mixtape that I put out to set up Cuffing Season. Choose Up Season is about the dating game. It's about the single life. It's about turning up. It's about, you know, having house parties, being at the club, doing your thing. And then once you do choose up, that's when Cuffing Season, you know. So I gave, you know, the process and the steps on Choose Up Season, and I think people will appreciate Cuffing Season and appreciate relationships more once they hear that, because it's the whole story, and then it starts over, it repeats itself. Like the Choose Up Season mixtape is in order. It starts off with the song called Choose Up, and then it goes to a song called Valet. And then mm-hmm. it goes to a song called House Party. You know, and all these songs are in order. Like, after House Party is Nightbag. Then it's Pillow. You know, it's like, okay, you can see what's going on. Then you have a song called Casual. You know, it's like it was supposed to be casual. Then you got a song called Never Be Together. Like we said, we'd never be together. Then you got a song called Awkward, which ends the project.
Mm.
So it's like all this stuff leads up, and then now it's just awkward. You know, it's like, who wants that cycle? You know, so then Cuffing Season comes, and it's like all of these songs about love and how I feel when I'm with my girl, and how, you know, she holds me down and she makes me feel like I don't have a care in the world. You know, so I feel like, you know, once people are able to hear the contrast in the music, you know, they'll appreciate and understand what Cuffing Season is a lot more.
So, and you got a remix for Valet coming, right?
Yeah, definitely got a remix. Yeah, with Fetty Wap and 2 Chainz.
Hey.
Fetty Wap and 2 Chainz. So Valet was a song that was on Choose Up Season that, you know, I kind of just like, yeah, it was what it was. And I'm moving on to Cuffing Season, but a lot of my fans and a lot of people at the label, they're like, we got to at least, you know, put out a remix or something, you know, because that song, you know, could really do good and, you know, just needs the right ears. And, you know, Fetty is signed to 300 as well. So
that label mates.
It made a lot of sense.
Fetty hasn't gone wrong either, so.
No, exactly.
I'm excited to hear that.
Did he sing 1738?
Yeah, he just said it.
7338.
Yeah, baby.
Oh yeah. Oh, we both yeah, baby. Once I heard the pocket he was doing it in, I went back in the booth, I couldn't help but to not say it. Right. It was like, it's so infectious, the melodies and the placements that he uses. It's like right in the pockets, right on the beat. So shout out to Fetty Wap, man. He's really doing his thing.
Cool, yeah, man. Shout out to Fetty Wap, one of my favorite just new artists. Like,
yeah, definitely.
Everybody know me, know like, man, I go to bat. Yo, 300, first of all, since we're here, I tweet this once a week. 300, I got $10 for you.
Yeah.
$6.99? How much an EP cost? Like $6.99?
$6.99.
Yeah. I got $6.99 for you. Why don't you put out a Fetty Wap EP? Look, you can put My Way on it. You can put Trap Queen, 679.
You out of here.
RGF Island. That's four songs. And again, five songs.
Oh, they got a new one out?
I got money. Yeah, something quick. Listen, I got money for y'all, one, man. Right? I want to buy a Fetty Wap album, man.
I seen that today. I seen Karen Civil tweet something like,
he's very
melodic. We've been doing it. Me,
so.
Karen Civil, Charlamagne. Like, yo, we got this money. Come get it. But, you know, if y'all don't want it, I'm buying Eric Bellinger album. So y'all gonna get my money one way or another.
I'm for sure putting that out. So.
Listen to RLS podcast listeners, y'all got homework. So Cuffin season comes out 7/7/7/10 maybe.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
We gonna need y'all to do Choose Up season.
Yeah,
right?
Make sure you listen to Choose Up season. It's on my SoundCloud. It's on Hot New Hip Hop. So you know, it's all.
We gonna blast the link from our Twitter. We gonna listen to it all week in between shows. We forming like a little community.
Okay,
online.
Dope.
It's gonna be like a book club, but with music.
Oh,
so we gonna
crazy.
Do Choose Up season. All right, and y'all gonna hit Eric Bellinger at Eric Bellinger on Twitter. Y'all gonna hit us at RLS Podcast, and we're gonna talk about, we're gonna break down these tracks, and we're gonna count down the days until we get to cuffing season.
That's
man,
love,
we're
man.
Really looking forward to
That's
this,
love.
Man.
I really appreciate that.
Cool, man.
Definitely looking forward to it. Thank you for coming up.
Thank
and talking
y'all
to
for
us.
Having me. This is amazing. It's about the music. It's about R&B. It's
Always.
Not about who's dating who. It's not about who's in the media. It's not about the paparazzi. It's just about the tracks. It's about the melodies. It's about the concepts. It's about the cadences. It's about the love and the passion for music.
For sure. Nah, definitely, man. And then just tell them where they can find you on Twitter if they don't already know, man.
Okay. So everything is just my full name, ericbellinger. So twitter.com/ericbellinger, instagram.com/ericbellinger, Periscope Eric Bellinger, and ericbellinger.com. So just, you know, Google it, whatever you gotta do, and listen to the music, man. Check it out, share it, you know. I think word of mouth is the best form of promotion, so if you like it, tell a friend.
That's
absolutely.
Chris, where can they get you at?
At Chris Lova on everything, KRISLOVAA
on everything. And y'all know me, I'm at Rob Markman, RobMarkMan on Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook, and you can catch me every day on mtvnews.com. That's where I write, that's where I report, man. You know, mostly on hip-hop, man, but we do the R&B over here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all love. So until the next time, you know, RLS podcast, at RLS podcast. And if you have relationship advice, if you want advice, please send your email to redlightspecialpc@gmail, redlightspecialpc@gmail. Until next time, we out, man. Jake and Papa, take us out.